What I find with my story is that those choices brought on by other people really affected my life. But, you know, at some point, those choices transfer on to the person that's been abused, and you have to become responsible for your own choices.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky. I want to say thank you for supporting the show. We're getting some great feedback about the various topics that we cover. We support startup entrepreneurs. We support existing small to medium-sized business owners, and we support book authors. And the reason I love book authors so much is because they bring amazing stories, not only just about business, but about life and the process of becoming an author. And with all of that in mind, I'm on the line with Michael Black. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well, Rick. And yourself?
I'm exceptionally well. I like to say I have 2 feet and a heartbeat. That's my catch cry. And I can't
complain. Oh, I love that. Love that. That's a good one. I might steal that one.
Oh, absolutely. It's not copyrighted. You can use it freely.
I can take it and run.
Now, on today's call, we're going to be talking with Michael about his revealing book, Happy Endings and a New Beginning. But before we jump into that, Michael, would love to learn a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Redding, California. I'm a native of California in the United States. I live in a small town just south of the Oregon border. I'm a married man. I like to tell people I'm 38, but truth be known, I'm 54. I think most people, when they see me, they think, no, you're not 38. But, you know, it's interesting. I'll tell you a little side story. I speak in colleges. And I often start out saying, give them my birthday, the year I was born. I always tell them 1980. And you can see the looks on people's faces like, really, 1980? But, you know, I'm happily married. I have a wonderful family and life is good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I wonder, you know, I've looked at your bio and it's actually a very deep conversation we're about to have with the My Future Business audience. And I'd love to, lean on you to share a little bit about this very important but often difficult topic to talk about. I was wondering if you could lead us into it.
Absolutely. You know, I came about this book about 9 years ago when, during a federal trial that I was involved in for the prosecution, my then therapist suggested that I keep notes of whatever it was that came to mind. By the time the trial ended in 2010, I realized that I had a lot of notes about my life and what I had been thinking, and I started kind of piecing the notes together, and it's kind of how the book came about. I realized that I had a story that, though not uncommon, it's unique for my life. Mm-hmm. And what I find with my story is that men don't talk about some of the issues. First of all, sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. If there's anything good that came from that, you know, I'm proud to be a voice for men and the effects that I believe child sexual assault has on and adults who were molested as children.
I wonder if we could talk about your experience and the importance of how those experiences have affected your choices in life since then.
Well, look, it's interesting that you use the word choices because my book circles around choices. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the theme of the book. One thing that I've learned in my life is that for a multitude of years, I went through life with a clouded perception of reality. I was a drug addict for many years. I don't blame my pedophiles, and I say that in the plural sense, mm-hmm. For my drug abuse, but I do find that many addicts have been abused. That to say, it was my choice to do my line of methamphetamines, and it really affected my life in many ways. First of all, I was very common with those men and women who have been sexually violated. I was very promiscuous as a young man and into my adult years. Mm-hmm. In those years, I made some pretty horrible choices, though a working addict. I found myself in and out of beds without thinking things through. You know, I lived through the AIDS epidemic mm-hmm. Of the 80s and 90s, and I'm still here.
Yep.
I didn't go through those years unscathed. In fact, I contracted the AIDS virus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's I think that it's our choices that dictate our future. And with the book, I want for others to become a little more cognizant of their own choices. I know for myself, I've made a lot of horrible choices. Yes, some of them, I think, as a direct result of being violated at a young age, not just once or twice, but a multitude of times. Mm-hmm. Those choices brought on by other people really affected my life. But, you know, at some point, those choices transfer on to the person that's been abused. And you have to become responsible for your own choices. For myself, I just made a plethora of poor choices. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, I was a functioning addict. I was able to hold down a job, and I find that for myself, and I can't speak for all people who have been violated as children, but when I was first violated at a very young age, at four years of age, maybe five, it's not something that especially men don't talk about or boys don't talk about. Mm. I think we as males are, I don't know if we're expected to be, but, you know, men are just a little more tough and they keep their feelings guarded. And I always knew I was a little different than everybody else. I had that, not saying that all men don't have some softness in their heart, but I've always had that soft and tender place in my heart. But those who are violated, in my opinion, you learn real quick when you don't talk about it, that you learn to be a great actor. You learn really quick to let others know that everything's okay when in fact it's not.
Do you find that suppression, Michael, made you feel worse or physically ill as well?
Well, listen, I think that having kept those secrets for so long led to my poor choices in life. I write in the book about that it's our choices or our secrets that keep us sick. Those things that internalize within us. And, you know, it takes a lot of time for those hurts and habits and hangups to heal or to get over. And I don't know, it's been quite a journey. You know, I think that speaking about it, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you. Speaking about it helps to free that, free the secrets. My family, my wife will tell you that I'm very open about my past, but I kept so much hidden for so many years that it's talking about it kind of frees me of the shame and guilt that I lived in for so many years. Mm-hmm. So,
no, thank you for sharing. I'd like to explore today's youth, today's young men.
Yeah.
And talk about the HIV AIDS epidemic. What do you say to young men about complacency?
Well, first of all, I want to say that if you are getting around, so to speak, promiscuous, you know, first and foremost, cover it up. You know, make sure you're always safe. You know, here in California, anyways, there's commercials nowadays that have that promote to. It's a prescription called Truvada that is used as a prophylactic to ward off HIV or AIDS virus. If you are being involved with somebody that you don't know, and it doesn't just apply to kids who are messing around, but for adults as well, you've got to protect yourself first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I would say to young men is just think first before you jump in. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, I went through much of my childhood into my adult years without being conscious of the choices that I was making. So that would be my first thing that I'd say, just be conscious of the choices that you're making with, you know,
your sexual having behavior. Sex
with your sexual behavior. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
As far as AIDS and HIV goes, you know, as I said earlier, I lived through the epidemic. Today, living with HIV and AIDS is more of a chronic disease. You know, it's just something that is treatable. Mm-hmm. It never goes away. I think that people just need to be more conscious of the choices they have before they jump into bed with somebody. I'm not just saying a bed, but, you know, yeah, wherever you might do your deed. But yeah, I just being a conscious person of your choices, I think, would helps in all aspects of our life.
And do you think it's important for young men to talk about these things openly? Because I think the sentiment towards these topics has changed dramatically. What are you hearing when you talk to individuals?
Well, what I'm finding, Rick, is I'm most touched by, I think, is when I speak openly of my past, is I have people that come to me privately, either online, or I love when people meet me face to face and say, I too was violated as a child, or I'm living with AIDS, or my brother has HIV, or my sister has HIV. I'm finding that people are, you know, HIV and AIDS historically has been a very shameful thing to live with. People just don't talk bad. In fact, a lot of people, when they come to talk to me, I just spoke this past week at a school, and I had somebody come up to me later and say that her best friend had AIDS, but she whispered about it. And I don't know, I think that speaking openly of living with this disease is, people need to be more open to the fact that it happens. I have found a lot of judgment over the course of living with the AIDS. I will say prior to that, I lived in the gay community for many years. I had been sexually confused, and my wife, who we've been married 5 years in February, just kind of came almost out of the blue. I do believe in a higher power. My higher power is the person I call God. I do believe that, you know, everything worked out according to his plan. That my wife was brought to me by him. That's another whole story that you can read in the book, that it's kind of, the book is kind of a love story as well. It's how I came about, you know, being with my wife. And, yeah, you know, we have our relationship is normal in every sense of the word.
With all that being said, Michael, I want to dig a little bit deeper into the book itself and how it's made up and what people can expect to find throughout the book.
The book starts out with my mother and stepdad's divorce. The last name on the book, my last name is Black. It was my stepdad's name. It's a name that I just kind of assumed, mm-hmm, when my mother and he got married. But the book starts out with their divorce in 1984, 1985. And I talk a lot about how I believe my stepdad and I did not ever have a tight bond. We weren't ones to go fishing, or he didn't go camping often. You know, we just didn't do those things that I think sometimes fathers and sons do. We didn't have that connection, and I'm not blaming him. Mm-hmm. What I can say of myself is that I think, having been violated at such a young age, I think there was part of me that had maybe a guard up because he was a man, and I don't know, I just always felt a little uncomfortable where men were concerned. But the book does start out talking about the dysfunction I had with men. I go into, it's very chronological, other than the beginning of the book starting in 1985.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about the importance of men stepping up to the plate for the next generation. I talk about being a functioning drug addict, again, being able to put on that face that I'm not high, that everything was fine.
Mm.
It's interesting, since writing the book, I've kept people throughout the decades in my life that I've come in contact with who didn't even know I was an addict. A lot of them knew about my living with HIV and AIDS, but you know, I think that anybody can benefit from this book. Again, going back to the choices, I think that the central message in it is to be cognizant of your choices.
It's only a few degrees of separation between heterosexuals knowing somebody who's in the gay society or somebody who's living with HIV/AIDS or who's a functioning drug addict. And I think this is a global situation that, you know, we need to be talking about more. It's obviously empowering for you. Does it help you through the healing process?
Absolutely. You know, and you're right. You know, with regard to the book, that's what we're talking about. It does, it's a global, I think that it can reach people globally, because if you're not gay, if you're not a drug addict, if you don't live with disease, I would bet you know somebody who either has been there is somebody in your life that just hasn't said anything.
Yep.
We all know somebody. And I think this book can really help others, give others hope for a better tomorrow, as it has my life.
Yeah, what's happening today with your choices, and what does your life currently look like, Michael?
Today, my life looks a lot better. I don't live with a clouded sense of perception, a clouded perception of reality. I try to live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that I do make mistakes still. I'm human.
You too?
Yeah, I am. I do. I made one or two in my life. But these days, you know, I try to think before acting. My mother would tell you that I don't always do that. I think that's part of being a parent.
Yes.
You know, but I'm just somebody trying to do the best I can with what I've got. So.
You know what? I'll take a punt on this, but it seems to me that you're happy too, which is after all is said and done, you've come through this this dark phase, if you like to call it that, with a message that transcends you. It's bigger than you, and I think that's an important thing.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. You know, and I am happy, genuinely happy. It's not a matter of putting on a front so that others could see that, you know, can't see my dark secrets. I think by talking about my past and the secrets that I kept for so long has freed something in me. It's freed the demons that may have surrounded my dark past. And just to live in a life of love and light is empowering. You know, and it's empowering to talk about those choices, good and bad, that I've made over the past. And currently in the present, you know, I'm very vocal about my past and my present and pretty much my future as well. So yes, it's I'm happy. I'm a happy man.
I'm looking at your public speaking. Let's talk a little bit about that and some of the things that you'd cover.
Well, I cover pretty much everything that's in the book. Currently, I public speak. It takes me an hour and a half to get through the book. You know, and there's a lot of side topics that come up. I can't think of one right off the top of my head that aren't in the book, but it's a little more personalized. Of course, it's always good. I know for myself, I've heard other authors speak, and I enjoy hearing what's in their book directly from them. My talk is very educational. I think that it opens the eyes and sheds light on drugs and disease and care. I currently am mostly speaking to medical students, to nurses, classes of nurses or medical assistants, this past week, I was asked to speak to a class of massage therapy students. And with that, I focus on the power of touch. In the book, I do talk about part of my healing process was going to care homes where seniors live. And I find with seniors in these homes that the power of touch is, well, powerful. I try to encourage when I'm speaking to classes that if ever you're feeling down and lowly about yourself, go to a convalescent home where they're seniors. They don't ever judge. They don't ever come at you. You know, I'm not saying that it's always pleasant, but by touching somebody else's life or somebody's hand, it can in turn touch your heart.
You know, they've come to the realization that there's no need to fight against the world. Your life's journey is what it is, and it is destined to be what it will become. I always look at the end of our life, our days, and I wonder for you, Michael, what is your legacy? What would you like to leave behind?
Well, obviously the book. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of thinking about that, and I can't say that I've really come to any one thing in particular. Part of my legacy, I think, is that I'm a loving person who tries not to judge. I'm somebody who is a listener. As much as I can talk like anybody else, I do have an open ear and an open heart. Part of my legacy, I think, will be my love for seniors. Mm-hmm. Having been sick a multitude of times in my life, a lot primarily because of living with AIDS, I've endured a lot of ailments, I think, that others haven't. For one, we just recently talked about convalescent care homes. I've actually been a patient in one of those as a rehabilitation patient. Mm-hmm. What I've learned is that being on that side of the wall, you know, it's kind of a scary place. But I think that part of my legacy will be my visitation with seniors. I love my elders. They are people too. And I like to be outspoken and an advocate for that community especially.
Yes, that's a wonderful journey you're on. Thank you so very much, Michael, for spending time sharing all of these wonderful things and insights that only somebody who has walked this path would know anything about. Now, Michael, most importantly, when people want to get access to this book, where are they going to find it?
If you go online to the World Wide Web and go to barnesandnoble.com, in the search engine, you can type in Happy Endings and a New Beginning by Michael J. Black, and you'll find it.
Fantastic. Well, look, everybody that is on the call with us today, take note of what we've talked about today. If you find yourself that you're in that sort of situation, you feel that Michael might be able to help you, most certainly reach out to him. I'll be making some links available below this post. Michael, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Blessings to you and you, Rick, and your listeners. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.